So the question is, how do women like us, age 50 plus, and dealing with high blood pressure, high blood sugars, and rising cholesterol levels, how do we keep our health numbers under control while we're trying to squeeze all the goodness we can from our life? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the answer. Join me as I uncover the secrets of living a plant-based lifestyle, including how to avoid taking medicine simply by eating whole foods, shed the extra fluff around your middle without being hungry or joining a gym, make big lifestyle changes even if you think you have no willpower, eat food you love with no portion control. Let's get your doctor to say, wow, whatever you're doing, keep doing it. All this without meds or restrictive dieting. I'm Robin Wong, and welcome to No Pills, No Hunger. Hi, everyone. Welcome to No Pills, No Hunger. I'm Robin Wong, and this is episode number 227. And today, I want to talk to you about salt. Yes, we love our salt. Americans love their salt. In fact, Americans consume about approximately 3,400 milligrams of sodium a day, and which is well above, way above the American Heart Association's recommendation, which is basically if you have any sort of high blood pressure or heart issues, they want you to keep your sodium intake under 1,500 milligrams a day. And then the other requirements, if you're healthier, that's in quotes, that it's the National Academy of Medicine, their dietary guidelines that come out every 5 years, their guidelines were to keep it below 2,300 milligrams a day. So the thing is, how do we really know how much we're taking in, right? No one measures that out, right? So this is what I want you to be aware of. You should be reading your labels for sure. And so the sad thing about it with those numbers, you know, I think there's probably 89% of adults and over 90% of our children are well above, they exceed those daily recommendations for sodium, especially when I told you that the average is about 3,400 milligrams a day. So we're way over. And, you know, for many of us that are conscious of it, like I am, you know, it is almost impossible to eat out, you know, especially soups or other things, because in restaurants, they're way too salty for me because I'm so used to not using salt and being aware of salt that almost anything that's prepared for me is too salty. So if you're on this path to reduce salt, hang in there. Your taste buds do change. But if you're not, why not? Let's start paying attention to where it's coming in. And I have a lot of people come to me and tell me, oh, I'm addicted to salt. Sometimes it's sugar, but a lot of times it's salt. And people have this craving for salt. And so, you know, you have to start asking yourself, is it such a bad thing? You know, I think people delude themselves and think, oh, it's not so bad, or I don't eat that much, because they think that they don't use the salt shaker on the table. Okay. And so, you know, when you ask that question, is excess salt really a bad thing? The short answer to that is yes. Yes, it is. And so you have to understand why salt's not great for us. And when you think about it and you think about what's going on inside your body, and I don't know if you think about this like I do, but I do. We have something called endothelial cells that line every vessel in our cardiovascular system. Now, we know those endothelial cells are affected by oils, most definitely, but they're also affected by salt. And the role of those cells is they provide a barrier between the blood and the other body tissues, and they recruit immune defense cells. They're really important. And these cells, these endothelial cells, they also have a really big job. And that job is to produce nitric oxide. And that's what makes your blood vessels dilate to increase blood flow, and it prevents platelets from sticking to the vessel walls. So it's an important thing, because remember, when those platelets stick, that's when you start getting sort of the hardening of the arteries. So we really want healthy endothelial cells, because when they're healthy, they respond really well to stimuli by releasing that nitric oxide and causing those vessels to dilate. And when they're unhealthy, they're not as resilient. They're not able to do that job. And so when you think about it, well, how do they even know this? Well, they can measure it, oddly enough. They can measure the level of dilation of a specific artery, and they do it via ultrasound. And it's a method called flow-mediated dilation. And it's a really good indicator of your overall health of your vessels in your cardiovascular system. Now, I find this stuff fascinating because, you know, when you're trying to eat healthy, often we're doing it because we just want to get off medicine, or we want to lose weight, or we want to feel better. But, you know, let's dive down and even deeper of why we need to do this, because this is what your body's doing inside to help us keep healthy. And there's all these things happening that we don't think about. And so every time you eat oil or you eat salt, you're affecting those endothelial cells, and not in a positive way. And so I want you to be aware of that. So studies have shown that the consumption of dietary salt negatively affects this flow-mediated dilation. And what it happens is it results in health problems like hypertension as well as diabetes. And so this is why when you are diagnosed with diabetes, or mainly you hear it more with hypertension, high blood pressure, is to really avoid salt. And often you're just like, you try to, but it's hard to measure how much you're eating. And so what we know is there's a really strong link between salt and high blood pressure. I mean, it's very clear, crystal clear. And they've done studies, which I think are really interesting, looking at some primitive tribes, like some primitive Indian tribes that are really isolated, like in the Amazon forest. And they've looked at what they eat. I would love to be on that research team. I would love to be tromping around in the jungle looking at what they're eating, right? And what they noticed is that these Indians in this remote tribe, they had no exposure, right, to some of the common foods that we eat. And their diet has zero salt in it, zero. And what they showed is that their sodium excretion level was at the lowest in any adult population ever reported in the literature, which I think is so fascinating. And they were completely healthy. Okay. And so you say, okay, well, was there any high blood pressure in that culture? No, zero. There was zero high blood pressure in that culture. Okay. So in fact, their blood pressure levels were pretty much across the board the same at any age. So like 95 over 60 in their 20s and in their 50s. So they didn't see any variation, even from aging, where that blood pressure made a difference. And so when you look at this, you know, you go, wow, what's different? Well, we eat differently. And so, you know, the Western populations like us, where, you know, we have, you know, blood pressure actually tends to rise with age, you have to say, well, what's going on there? And one of the things is our bodies have longer exposure to these foods. And the longer they're exposed, the more damage that can be done to some of these endothelial cells and various other things in our body, right? So while we were born, you know, without these issues, that's why you see them start happening as we age. It's not just age. It's the accumulation of how we've been eating, how we've been living, how we, you know, sleeping and stressing and moving, as well as eating. And so it's the whole lifestyle. And, you know, what do you have control over? We do have control over what we eat. We do have control over when we go to bed and how we sleep for the most part and how we move our bodies. And these are the things I want you to start focusing on so that you can be healthier and happier. Okay, because they go together. And so what we know is that these studies you know, show that salt may be unhealthful and dangerous, even for those of us without a pre-existing condition, and that a reduction in sodium intake will improve that flow-mediated dilation, even in non-hypertensive individuals. So even if you don't have high blood pressure, you should be paying attention to this just from a good health standpoint. Okay. Another interesting thing about wanting to eat salt and salt, you know, having a high salt intake is, oddly enough, it makes us crave fat more. And it's, you know, it's this negative association between salt and fat. And there's some evidence that shows that salt may actually promote the passive overconsumption of dietary fat in our diets and how we're eating. And it's because salt hinders, it kind of masks that fat taste sensitivity. So, so we tend to overeat it, and we, you know, it goes down pretty smoothly because the salt has kind of desensitized us. And so, and, you know, this is really, it even after going long periods without eating fat, when they looked at subjects in these studies, those who ate high salt diets continue to crave high fat meals, even after the fact. So really a lower salt and a low fat diet really is what's going to decrease that craving and that desire to eat those fats. And what they also found is that people who eat more salt tend to consume more food and about 11% more calories. Okay. So, you know, you're like, oh, all right, that might be why I've been putting on a little extra weight, right? Because that salt craving really contributes to that. So then you're thinking, all right, this all sounds great. I understand it, but don't I need some sodium? Isn't that a common question we ask ourselves? We're fighting to keep that habit, aren't we? That's what our brain's doing. All right. You know, we can't really dispel the data, but don't we need some salt? This is our brain's way of going, yeah, we want to hold on to this salt habit, okay? I think it's really fascinating how our brains work. And so I want you to realize that that's a myth, that, you know, that low sodium intake is bad for you. And this is, you know, overarching. I guess there's probably some people that need more than others, but, you know, some people say, oh, athletes need more. And the fact is, athlete or not, the human body is simply not adapted for high sodium intake. It's just not. And, you know, millions of years, mammals, primates, ate very small amounts of sodium, all right? Probably 100 to 500 milligrams a day, because what did they eat? They only ate plants. And those plants contain a trace amount of sodium. And they did fine. They grew big, they grew strong, all those things. And so what I want you to realize is that if you're, you know, if you want to just focus on eating fruits and vegetables, you're going to get about 500 milligrams of sodium every day without adding anything else. Okay. So it's really almost impossible to get too little sodium, especially when we're eating whole foods. And it's really more common to be getting too much sodium in our diets. That's really because, you know, we're not eating enough fruits and vegetables, or maybe we are, but we're also eating more processed foods. Okay. So the question then comes up, well, what foods should I be avoiding? Right? What foods really are the biggest villains when it comes to salt? And there's a study, the NHANES surveys, and they said that 33 to 44% of sodium intake in the US is linked to grain products. And, you know, so you have to, in that category, when you think of grains, breads are the biggest high sodium villains, followed by pizza doughs and pastas, Mexican tortillas, and then grain-based desserts. Soups and potato chips, they don't fall far behind. So they're up there too. So you think about soup that you open in a can, right? Potato chips, everybody knows. I mean, pretzels, potato chips, those sort of things. That's why you reach for them, because they're salty. But for a lot of people, they don't realize that bread is a very high sodium product. Now, I have tried the no sodium bread. I have. And I would just rather not eat bread because I didn't find it that enjoyable. So, because, you know, definitely it needed some sodium, or that's what my taste buds told me anyway. Now, had I eaten that longer, I probably would have been fine. I think you might be able to make your own and cut down on the amount of sodium that's in it. But just be aware. Not that you can't eat those things, but I want you to be aware if you're watching your salt intake of where those, you know, what's how it's sneaking in. And so, you know, you might be thinking, well, I don't have to really worry about salt because, you know, I'm eating a whole foods plant-based diet. Okay. But it's really, I mean, that is true. You are, and you probably don't have to be as worried, but just know that yes, it's lower in sodium typically, but you really should always be aware of sodium content in the foods you eat, especially when you're buying packaged foods, which is really hard to avoid, or eating out at restaurants, okay, that because it sneaks in. And so, you know, if you are even opening a can of beans, which are, you know, whole food and awesome for you, there's going to be some sodium in it. And so, yes, you can buy the low sodium or no salt, and you can rinse them and do all those things, and I hope you are, but just be aware, it can sneak in. And so you still need to be vigilant about it. And so I want you to realize that wherever you are on the spectrum, you can retrain your taste buds. It's really possible. And you can get out of this salt habit. And it really is a salt habit. And start giving your taste buds some time to acclimate you do the same thing with sugars. It becomes, you know, used to the flavors unadulterated by salt, sugar, and fat, and really enjoying the whole foods. And then really look at, you know, are you eating, more refined sugars? Are you looking at foods with less sodium in them? And then give your taste buds some time to adjust to that. All right. So let me give you some tips on ways to kind of get rid of the salt habit, I think, and let your taste buds start, you know, regrouping and retraining them, basically, is what you're doing. And so the first way you can start is get rid of the table salt, right? 33% of us add salt to food before we even taste it. Now, is that a habit? Yes. Yes, it is. So catch yourself. Just take it off the table. And put something else there. Maybe put pepper there instead, so you have that action that you like so much. But I've watched guests do this at my house all the time, and you know it amazes me. It's like they haven't even tasted it. And granted, my food probably it does not taste very salty because I don't use salt for the average person. But they haven't even tasted it. And then just remember that a quarter teaspoon of salt, of table salt, contains 575 milligrams of sodium. So your limit is a teaspoon of, you know, or less a day. So just know that. Okay, the second thing you can do is stop cooking with salt. All right. As your salt receptors acclimate, the sodium in the natural way it shows up will be plenty. And so in the whatever the fruits and vegetables you're eating, that it'll be fine. And so I would really encourage people that are seeking flavor, and that's why they reach for salt, really lean into your herbs and spices, because that's where you're going to get the flavor for sure. And, you know, just substitute stuff in. The best way to overcome this salt addiction is to really substitute other things in and replace salt with, you know, pepper and onion and garlic and tomato and basil and parsley and lime and chili powder and rosemary, curry, coriander, lemon, whatever. There's a ton of different things you can do. And just experiment with what you like the best. I think you will really be pleasantly surprised, honestly. The third thing is to avoid or limit packaged foods. approximately 75% of the sodium we eat are added. It's added sodium to packaged and restaurant foods. And so if you're not sure, read the label. Read the food label. A quick hack that sometimes helps, what I help my clients do, is look at the number of calories, okay, that is in that portion, and then look at the amount of sodium in it. You want a sodium amount to be less than the amount of calories, okay? And that's kind of a quick hack to say, okay, it's too high. I mean, it's, you know, you could even go more in depth, but if you're just wondering, is it pretty high or is it pretty low? That's a good place to start. And saying that, oh, it's the number of milligrams is over the number of calories I'm eating in this, then it's way too high. All right. So it's hard to avoid packaged food. I know it is. But if you must buy, you know, packaged manufactured food, make sure your sodium intake is within those guidelines, you know, less than 1500 milligrams, certainly less than 2300 milligrams. If you have high blood pressure or cardiovascular issues or diabetes, or even if you just want to be healthier, stick to that 1500 milligrams or less for sure. All right. And just, you know, fewer milligrams of sodium than calories per serving. That's a great way to start. All right. And then at restaurants, typically what I do and I encourage my clients to do is stick to salads or other whole foods and stay away from sauces and soups and dressings. Yes, on your salad, you can get plain balsamic vinegar, something like that, or lemon is delicious. And so you don't have to worry about the salt being added. So really, I just want you to be aware and know that if you can reduce your sodium intake, if all of us could do this, it would be fewer strokes, fewer heart attacks, fewer deaths in the U.S. And, you know, really, I think the easiest way to really keep that sodium down to that recommended level is to really just read your labels and to really eat an unprocessed plant-derived type diet. You know, you're really leaning into those whole foods more. And what does that mean? That means foods that don't have labels at all. Okay. So when you think about it, when it comes to salt, less is definitely more. And it's going to take you some time to really get your taste buds to follow suit, but it only takes about 10 days if you stick with it. So hang in there. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. And, you know, your inside of your body will, you know, endothelial cells, they'll be super happy that you did that. So keep up the good work. Talk to you soon. Thank you for tuning in today. I know there's about a million ways you can spend your time, and I really do appreciate that you spent some time with me. Thank you. If you got something out of this episode and know someone who would also appreciate it, make sure to share it with them. We are all trying to get healthier in order to live well, and you can show them you care about their health by sharing these messages. Want to start improving your health today? One place I like to start with clients is breakfast, since morning habits are the easiest to build. That's why I created a guide called 3 Breakfasts to Lower Blood Sugars, which includes easy, delicious recipes for my favorite meals to start the day. Pick it up today for free at page.nutritionwithrobinrdn.com/guide, or click the link for 3 breakfasts to lower blood sugar in the show notes. Thanks again, and see you in the next episode.